I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, Ramblers, and welcome to a little revisit of our series At The Match, which we made to bring you the atmosphere from some of the UK and Europe's most interesting grounds and games, which for obvious reasons, while we're mostly indoors, I've been really enjoying re-listening to of late and resampling the roar of the crowd. It's always great to go to Dortmund. It feels to me everything that a football experience should be in terms of atmosphere and crowd participation. And in those terms, it's not really changed much since my first trip there back in 2003, when the team was poor, but the experience was really enriching. So we get into just how Dortmund have kept that experience and that feeling alive, despite ascending to the ranks of the European elite in recent years. And we try, and possibly fail, to make it away from the club shop without spending all our cash on chanting toasters and yellow and black snowmen to hang from the tree. This is At The Match from Dortmund versus Freiburg on 1st of December 2018.
You want to hear this? Gerufen hat, hier ist die Aufstellung unseres heutigen Gegners aus Freiburg. Die Nummer 1 trägt Alexander Schuro, die 5 hat Manuel Hunde, die 8 Mike Franz, die 11 Luca Waldschmidt, die 15 Pascal Stenzel, die 18 Nils Pedersen, die 13 Janik Haberer, die 20 Jerome Gondorf, die 23 Dominik Weitz.
Thank you.
Puma Topfer. Er darf von Borussia Dortmund das natürlich runter. Lucien! Viel Spaß beim Spiel Borussia Dortmund gegen den Sportclub aus Freiburg.
For the game so far, much quieter than normal in Westfalen, with the fans protesting against the continued use of Monday night kickoffs. And in a stadium where it's normally pure noise, we're getting no organised support, so we're having spells where you can hear the whack of boot on ball. Very unusual. One of the strangest aspects about this first half of boycott is we've got little pockets of fans starting chants and they're getting whistled down by their fellow fans. Really unusual situation.
So the last time we spoke, Jens, the season was looking quite promising for Dortmund.
Definitely.
I guess this must be... What, is it too early to say beyond your wildest dreams?
It is definitely beyond my wildest dreams. If you compare this to the last season where we really have been suffering, this is just crazy. And if you think that last week just there was the verdict for the guy that bombed the BVB bus.
Yeah.
So he has been sentenced to 14 years last week. And so it's crazy where we come from. We were basically a club on the bottom and now we're leading the league. It's just, I would not have imagined that in my wildest dreams.
Do you think people really forget the effect of the bus attack and how that stayed with especially the players? Because there wasn't a gap. I mean, Thomas Tuchel talked about it at the time, didn't he? The fact that they were made to carry on. Did the players even get a chance to process it, really?
You have to see that there's not so many of those players left that have actually been in the bus. So,
yeah.
And it's, you go to football, you want to, it's a recreational activity. So it's not like you want to think about bombings or stuff like that. So yes, I think the fans easily forget about it. And it is just like this verdict now has reminded us that where we come from and it has not been so long ago. And yeah, it's just amazing that we now have a team that actually is able to lead the league. And there's somebody, thank you, helping me with the beer. That's Dortmund. When the Swedish man comes and brings you a beer. But
that is the international flavour of it.
It is international flavour. I mean, you have experienced it here. You have been meeting fellow English people and now the Swedish and the Finnish.
Finns,
yes. Everything. So, yeah.
We'll come back to that aspect of it in a minute.
All right.
Because it's very interesting, of course. But as this special season shapes up, there's all sorts of other stuff happening off the pitch as well.
Yeah.
Part of that, when we last spoke, it was after Dortmund beat Nuremberg
7-0. Yes,
and slightly different game today against Freiburg. Those still a win. But again, I mean, I found it was one of the most unusual experiences I've been at a football match, when there was the fan protest at the game against Nuremberg, because in a crowd of nearly 80,000 people, it was at the time, for the first 20 minutes, when there was that silent protest, you could hear the players boots hitting the ball.
Yes.
Which is extraordinary when you've got that many people in the stadium. I mean, it wasn't quite as quiet as that today, but for the first half, there was no organised support. And tell us why that is.
Yeah, that is because of protests against Monday games. Right now we have like 5 or 6 Monday games per season in the Bundesliga.
Now this is something that's extraordinary to a lot of English people who will be listening to this, because Monday night football has been something that's been part of the fabric of the Premier League for 20 years, maybe more.
Really?
Why is it that German fans just can't get on with the idea?
Monday is just not for football, you know, and I'm also an away supporter, so I go to away games. Like, I don't go to all the away games, but maybe 10 or so per season.
And it's nice to have the option.
Yeah, and if I'm going to a Monday game, I have to take the day off, basically, to go somewhere. If I have to go to Freiburg, then I have to take the next day off as well. So that's like 2 days of holiday already gone. And if that goes on and on, so we are looking for fan-friendly kick-off times. And even though they have announced now that from the next TV contract starting in 2020, there will be no Monday games in Bundesliga, it's still the problem that they have a Monday game every week in the second Bundesliga.
And third as well.
And the third. Yeah. And I think also in the fourth they are quite flexible. So we are fighting for all the leagues now. So that's why we are at this silent protest today.
So is that a symptom of how television runs football more than it should these days? The fact that it feels like there should always be something on, that every day of the week there should be some football for people to watch.
Yeah, definitely. It has switched a lot. The people inside the stadium, they don't count as much. It's more about the TV spectators. They sit at home. They want to be entertained every day of the week. So why not give them a Monday game? But the people that actually have to go there and, you know, create all the fuss, because there would not be such a fuss about football if there would not be the support and the atmosphere inside the grounds. That's what draws also the attention to the actual football games. So,
well, that's it. It's something that is very powerful. And I think, to me, it's curious that fans outside Germany, at least, I mean, there's still quite a lively fan movement in Germany and a sense of supporters' rights. Whereas elsewhere, I think we're a little bit downtrodden and we kind of accept things are how they are. But in fact, as the supporter, you do have a great deal of influence, a great deal of potential influence and control.
That's right.
Because they need you in the stadium. It's not the same spectacle without it. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about it in England recently, and I think maybe we've not thought about it that much before, because when you had the fans banned from Croatia versus England, you have, you know, two teams who got to the last four of the World Cup and, you know, one finalist, and it just looked like a rubbish kickabout.
Yeah.
Because there was no fans, and, you know, the players talked about how it was eerie. A lot of the journalists who went said it was a really unpleasant experience. It is part of the television experience, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. The actual football, I think it wouldn't interest about half as much people than, you know, if there was not such a great craze about it, and that is the people going to the stadiums, creating the atmosphere. And we are in the lucky position here in Germany that most of the clubs still are, actually, we call it a Verein, so it's the members of the club that actually get the say who is the head of management.
Yes.
And we get to vote for that every year. And I know it's a bit of a foreign concept to the English, but you have to say that back in the 80s or even 90s, we have been looking at England and saying, like, wow, that is the top standard for support in a football. And nowadays, you see lots of tourists, because everybody who can just about afford a ticket gets to go. But, you know, it's people coming over for one match. They travel in, they travel out. They don't care if they have to pay 50 or 80 or 150 pounds or whatever. Yeah. And it's you have lost that core fan base. And I don't... I thought it was quite striking when we played against Arsenal. We had the Arsenal supporters here in the center of the city, and they were just tearing the place down. It was so great. They were singing for each individual player. They had a song. It was so great. And then they come into the stadium and boop, silence. And they just don't support anymore. They supported more on the marketplace than they would support in the stadium.
A sense, I think it's partly to do with the cost. I think it's the sense that when you come to the stadium, you're part of the experience, you're part of the spectacle. Whereas I think for people who've paid a lot of money, sometimes there's, I've paid a lot of money, you have to impress me.
Yes.
And then maybe I'll respond.
They want to be entertained.
Yeah.
And here in Dortmund, it's a different thing because, you know, the club is the one main thing that we have here, and it's just, you know, a common thing to go every week to the games, and yeah, you want to support the team, and I think that's really different. You have to have a certain margin of tourists coming over, and I think it's great that we have so many international fans coming over. You've seen them today, like the Swedes and the Englishman, and yeah, they said that they have been talking English in the stands in the north today. So yeah. I think that's great. It's because as a city, Dortmund has not such a great appeal to foreign tourists or anything. So I think that's, the football puts us on the map, but the core of the fans is the fans from Dortmund or from the area who come and have a season ticket and who come back no matter if it goes well or not so well for the club.
So the club have managed that quite well, actually, haven't they? Because I guess the thing that struck me about Dortmund, I mean, when you guys came over to London for the Champions League final,
right.
I mean, it was an extraordinary thing, really, because London is a city with, say, 10 professional teams,
yes,
and always a huge clutch of teams in the Premier League. But yet, you could go around London and live your life and not really realise that football existed.
Really?
Whereas, yeah, I think you could. Whereas for the couple of days up to the final, you know, you had a couple of parties in pubs,
yes,
in the centre of London, and it kind of took Bayern and Dortmund to say, hey, there's a big football thing happening.
Yeah, it was crazy because I've been at that game, actually. I've been in London for like 2 days before the game, and, you know, we walked around the city sporting our colours, and there was, yeah, a bus driver just waving and stopping and just waving at us. It was just crazy. It was great that, you know, everybody just acknowledged that we had come over. And I think, you know, we were at Trafalgar Square with I don't know how many thousands of fans of Borussia, and it was, yeah, that was a great experience. And yeah, it was also extraordinary that two German teams played there, of course.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2? The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do. Ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
Por qué?
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, 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 beep.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
About the 2013 final as a sort of pivotal point.
Yeah.
I mean, Dortmund as a club kind of not changed their image, but started to the club started to market their image in a very particular way.
Yeah.
Didn't they? And at that point, you know, it can almost become a bit of a cliche. How do you think Dortmund remained to such a real experience rather than just turned into another brand and another slogan?
Yeah, I think, of course, they tried to market that, and that's what they could market. What makes Dortmund special maybe is the amount of fans that we pull every week. And of course, they came up with the slogan "Echte Liebe," which means real love.
Yes.
Which nowadays sounds a bit cheesy, but back then, when we had Jürgen Klopp and that team of young, a lot of them homegrown players, that was so fitting. So even the hardcore fans to a wide range could identify with that slogan. And of course, it just doesn't go on like that. It just doesn't work like that for us as well. But what makes us special is the stadium here, the 25,000 stand tribune that we have, the Südtribüne. That is what makes it special. And that's, you know, of course, that is what the club realized, that it's a unique selling point.
Yes. Do you think so many of the fans responded so well to that? A, because the team were doing so well, and B, because actually it was still really close to where the club nearly went under, wasn't it? I mean, it was, what, 5-6 years on from that?
Yeah, 2015, basically, the club was broke. And it was
2005.
Yeah, 2005. I got mixed up there. 2005, the club was broke, and it was not sure if we even would get a license to play in the Bundesliga. Further, there are still people calling that, saying that we should not have gotten the license back then. So, that was for me in my fan in my time as a Borussia Dortmund fan, that was the most horrible experience I ever went through, because we didn't know would there be something next year to go to, and it would have been devastating not only for the club but also for the city of Dortmund.
So do you still feel grateful for everything that's happened since then?
Oh, yes, very, very much. We have been celebrating two championships, two cup wins, and like a Champions League final. It's amazing to me that how we could bounce back from that, because, yeah, there was nothing. We were on the verge of getting relegated a few times back then, and just a few years later, we were champions. That is incredible. It's
So how much was Klopp the right man at the right time? Not just for the team, but for the club and for the community and someone for the fans to respond to?
Yeah, one thing about Jürgen Klopp is that he's just not a coach. He is the coach, and on top of that, he's the best ambassador you could ever imagine for a city and or for a club. And he just gets everybody lined up behind him. So I think it fits very well that he went to Liverpool, which is also a town that is a little bit declining. Old factories that are not run anymore, and I don't know, but I think he fits very well at Liverpool, and also he has implied he has them playing a little bit like we used to play with this counter-attacking football and the fast attacks and everything. So yeah, he's just a person. It was crazy that we got him in here, and for him as well, he has been growing so much here at Dortmund, because before that he has just, you know, been battling relegation, and now he is one of the most sought after coaches in Europe.
And I suppose, like, his whole personality and how he is on the touchline and how he relates to people, that must have been something that's quite difficult to replace when he left, never mind the football side of it, but just him as a person.
Yeah, that's impossible to replace. We had Thomas Tuchel afterwards, who's a great specialist when it comes to tactics, but he's just not that persona who unites the fans and unites the whole city. Then we have been struggling, and even now, where we are super successful this season under Lucien Favre, but Lucien Favre is also not that kind of guy. If you go to a presser with Lucien Favre, he will say basically nothing at all.
Yes.
You ask him about something and he will say something completely different in return. Mm. He just doesn't answer the questions. He pretends to not speak German very well on those presses. It's crazy. That's one of his methods, just, you know, so nobody can pin him down to anything that he says. But he's a super expert when it comes to football.
Yes.
And he's a very likable guy. So that's a combination. But Klopp in... the whole thing, that cannot be replaced.
Talk about that connection with the fans. How important is it to have Marco Reus leading the way this season and to have Mario Götze back in, at least back in the team? I mean, you wouldn't say necessarily back at his best, but you know, you talk to people at the start of the season and they were a bit worried about Mario Götze's future, but you know, he scored that goal against Augsburg, which was pretty emotional moment, wasn't it, here at Westfalen. How important is it to have those guys still sort of leading the team in a way for the fans?
So I would have to split my answer there, because it's a really, really difference. Mario Götze is seen very, very critical in the Dortmund fan base. I mean, a lot of them...
Because he went to Bayern.
Yeah, and the way he went, just announced weeks before the Champions League final in 2013. And also, he's one of the top earners we have here, and he has never really stood up to that with... what he does on the pitch. I have to give him personally credit for that. He really tries as hard as he can. He runs, he does things.
Yeah.
but he's not that player that makes the difference. And on the other side, Marco Reus, who is from Dortmund as well, just like Götze, who grew up here as well, but Marco Reus is very much rooted in Dortmund, and he's a world-class player if he's at his best, and this season he is at his best. And he could have gone anywhere, and he, when we were on a relegation spot, he renewed his contract. Yeah. So I think Marco Reus is one of the players who didn't really get the credit that was due to him, because the fans really couldn't relate to him so much because he's a shy guy, doesn't say so much.
Yes.
But this season, when they awarded him skipper and made him lead the team, he really stepped up and he really came through. And I must say that I'm amazed that of how today was not his best day, even though he scored the decisive 1-0. But he's really the team leader nowadays, and I just didn't think he had it in himself. And he's going to be one of the great club legends because, he's going to, when he finishes his career, he's going to be here for so many years and has played so many games. So.
And he might still end up this season as a champion.
Yes.
That's possible as well.
Yes, and he's for him, it was the cup win, was the first title he ever won as a player. So yeah. It's crazy that such a world-class player has never won a title before. So he was maybe the one that wanted to win that one just more than anybody else. And I think now is the season of his lifetime.
So what next for the fan movement around the club? I mean, it's clear that there's some common ground between supporters of different Bundesliga clubs,
yep.
which we don't always say in the Premier League. If someone brings up pricing, someone will say, yeah, I agree, football's too expensive. But if you're saying my club's tickets are too expensive, you're criticising my club, which is a crazy thing, really. You've still got that commonality here, which is a really great thing. How does that work even between rival clubs?
Yeah, it's crazy. There was meetings of the ultras groups of different clubs, like from the first to the third division. They were all there, and they could sit in one room and in the end come up with something that they spoke with one voice, and that is really powerful. So they really made some statements, and I think they now realized how powerful they really are, because it made the German Football Association really change their ways in some way. So I think what we've seen now with the protests, I hope it doesn't happen so often, because that is really the last line that you can draw, that you're just being silent and don't support the club. I hope it doesn't happen too often, but I think that fans are really very well aware these days how powerful they really are.
And of course, the fact is that the Bundesliga, which arguably has never been as successful internationally, it's got TV deals in lots of different countries,
yep.
it markets itself digitally very, very well, but it markets itself as football as it's meant to be.
Right.
So without the atmosphere, it's not worth anything, is it?
That's right. And I think that's also the feedback I get from all these international fans I talk to, and I talk to a lot of them, that they come here because, like, the prices are affordable, you have the atmosphere, you have the standing, and you have the beer inside the stadium at an affordable price. So it's the whole experience that makes people come over. And I think, step by step, even the federations really realize what they have here, and that is the unique selling point of the Bundesliga, because we will never have the Ronaldos or the Messis here, because that's just not how this league functions. We are not a players' league, we are more of a fans' league, actually.
party never stops here in Dortmund.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.